welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Jennifer, it is a delight to have you back on my campus here at Southwestern. And every time you're on campus, it's always sunny.
Well, thank you. Is that coincidence? Is it cause and effect?
I think it's correlation. It's very windy today, so I guess when I'm on
campus. Now, what does that say?
When I'm on campus, there's a big breeze. There's a big wind.
We'll let listeners ponder the perhaps larger existential meaning of that. Meanwhile, we're going to tackle a question that actually it comes from something that you said in a previous episode. We were talking about another topic.
It must have been fascinating.
It was. It's so fascinating. I don't remember that topic, but
it wasn't memorable, just fascinating.
But what I do remember is you said something that really, really stuck with me. Hmm. You said something along the lines of, boy, if students learn nothing else but time management, that's a huge skill to learn. And that really struck me, coming from an educator and president of a university. Obviously, that's something that you see as critical in students' development.
In human beings' development.
Everyone's development.
Absolutely. And I have said that. And I think I actually mean it. You know, it's funny. I often say things, and some of them I actually really, truly mean. And I think this is one of them where if you can develop habits and practices of living your life so that you can manage your time effectively – And that's not to necessarily say that you're 100% productive. I want to be clear on that. But to me, time management is managing your life so that there are pockets of time that are there for joyful and positive recreation. And also when there is some arduous work to be done, you can get it done. And when there is pleasurable work to be done, creative work to be done, that you can get it done. And you know, it's balancing. It's a balance act. And I think that, you know, students desperately need that. And we provide that in higher education, especially at the, you know, undergraduate level. We just throw so much work at these students that it really is kind of sink or swim. And so they have to then develop those practices to make themselves more effective.
Well, what I remember from my higher education years was making that transition from high school to college. You know, in high school, you're in class almost all day long, or study hall or practice, whatever.
Detention in my case.
Oh, okay. Well, now there's another
joke. I was a goody two-shoes. I was pathetic. I'm sorry. But yes, there were all these activities until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. I mean, so your day was pretty structured, and then homework at night. I remember when I got to college and realized, wait a minute, this class only meets 3 hours a week, and I've got 4 of them. And I had these expanses of free time, and it took me a while to figure out. So this class meets Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now I'm done Monday morning at 10 o'clock. I don't have to be back till Wednesday morning. How do I plan my homework? How do I plan my life? It was very different than the structure of high school.
Lots of pockets of free time. And I think you're absolutely right that there is such a juxtaposition between those two. And you just change over a summer, right? You go from being a senior to being a first-year student as an undergraduate, and everything changes. And so where do people suggest that you have to really figure out what to do, and you can't waste it, and wasting it doesn't mean being frivolous. In fact, that might be a good use of time. Wasting it might be being on the, you know, on your iPhone and looking something, you know, up, or just being stressed out by social media. That might be a huge waste of time when in fact you can be out throwing a frisbee.
So you said an interesting phrase in there: figure it out. So what I've been thinking during this whole discussion is, so how do you teach this to students? How do you help them manage their time, balance their time, budget, whatever the word is you want to use? How do you help them learn to get all of those different pieces into their daily existence?
So first of all, I do not believe that there is a way to do this. I think that for every one of the, you know, 7 billion people on the planet, there are 7 billion different ways. But with intentionality and consciousness, you have to figure out what works for you. So what I will do is I'll bring a student into my office, and I'll ask that person how that person studies. And then I'll say, well, you know, have you thought about this, this, or this? Sometimes they spend so much time on this, the wrong task. You know, in fact, in the 5 elements of effective thinking, we talk about how people sometimes spend a lifetime trying to find the answer to the wrong question in life. And I think it's the same thing here. You've got to really find the way that works for you. For me, for example, I actually am more productive and I think I'm happier when I have interruptions.
So for interesting. So, for example, what do you mean?
So as a faculty, I'll tell you a little bit of trivia. You know, 30 years as a math professor before I moved, I was demoted to president.
So you started teaching math when you were four.
Thank you very much. But throughout that entire period, I never had an office hour.
Wait a second. Professors are supposed to have office hours.
Yes, well, this shows you how bad I was. I never had an office hour because the rule was that, I mean, as you know, I'm a workaholic and I'm working all the time. And I was in my office all the time, all day and a lot of the night. And the rule was, if my door is open, my light is on, I'm in. And so it was an open door policy. I never had hours where I was supposed to be there. And so I'd be in the middle of either doing some kind of pedagogical work or working on a book or, you know, trying to prove new theorems and doing some of my own research. And a student would come in where for a lot of people, that would be a huge distraction. You know, oh, I lost my place. And for me, it was a great place to take a break. The person would come in. I'd get to engage with that person about either his or her life or about mathematics, all of which was always very interesting, always very joyful. They'd leave. I'd be in a good mood. It was almost like taking a kind of a momentary mindfulness exercise. And then I could double down and get even more deep. And so it was very rare that, in fact, these distracted me. They usually enhanced the experience. So this idea of kind of creative and joyful interruptions works for me. Now, I have colleagues, and I had colleagues at other institutions, where they had a set-aside time where it was do not disturb time. This is my research time, and I do not want to be disturbed for this two-hour block. I'll tell you, I don't have the attention span to sit there for 2 hours and do nothing but mathematics. And so for me, those interruptions are helpful. But that's how I work. People have to figure that out.
Well, and that makes me think of both when someone is undergoing a formal education experience or when they're out in the world with family and with work, sort of the question of cramming at the last minute versus sort of slow and steady progress. I mean, anybody who has been in a class to write a paper or had to write perhaps a report for work knows that that's always a time management question of, do I work better when the deadline is on and I know I've got X amount of minutes or hours, or do they work better doing a bit each day for the 2 weeks leading up?
Now, for a mindless activity like mowing the lawn or something like that, yeah, maybe doing it the last minute is fine and productive and good. But anything that's mindful, anything that requires some understanding or some depth or some real thinking, it is always better to do it slow and steady because then it, I mean, think about a dried out sponge, okay?
Okay.
If you take a dried out sponge and you quickly run water over it, the first thing that happens is the water beads just run right off it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you're studying at the last minute. It just runs right off. Whereas if you let it seep in and drip in, then the sponge begins to come to life. And it's like your brain begins to expand. And so that's why you need to manage your time and not just cram or work on that paper the day before it's due, but make incremental progress throughout that journey, throughout the week, throughout the month, whatever it is, and always be working on everything at once. And that way, you actually are building a deeper understanding.
So what you're saying is that when we introduce a puzzler each week, people should spend a little time each day thinking about that puzzler until they get the solution.
They have 7 days.
Right, in between.
They shouldn't do it the minute before
right.
they listen to the next broadcast.
Right.
Of course.
So speaking of the puzzler, let's get to a new one.
That was an awful segue, by the way.
So what is a good segue?
My segues
never meet your standards.
It's true. Well, sometimes they do, but whenever I comment on them, they're usually saying.
Okay.
I would say that you'd say, you know, Ed, I really can eat this up. In fact, I ate this up, and that reminds me of eight. Can you give us a puzzle involving eight? That's the segue I'd use.
All right. I didn't get that down word for word, but I'll do my best. So having said all of that,
what is
this week's puzzler? I'm ready.
Okay, very good. Well, this is a puzzler, as I've just foreshadowed, about the digit 8.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the question.
Okay.
Can you add 8 8s to get 1,000? So can you add 8 8s to get 1,000? And all you're allowed to do is add them.
8 8s to get 1,000.
That is correct.
All right. A question.
Please.
Do we have a unit of eights? So in other words, are we adding 8 sticks? Are we adding 8 of anything? Or is there something specific in that 8 that we might be thinking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're now hearing what an effective thinker sounds like, because one of those elements of thought, of course, is to ask probing questions. And my response will be the following. Can you add 8 8s to get 1,000?
Okay. I'm liking this one already. So
nice.
I have some notes down here. I have some thoughts. We'll get back, of course, to the solution to that.
Oh, you wrote down 8 8s. Look at you.
Well, I did.
I mean, like that.
That was just sort of a first go at a visualization, mm-hmm. but then my mind went somewhere else, and we'll chat about that next week, where my mind went and trying to come up with the solution.
Out to lunch.
So returning to time management as we wrap up this episode, I want to go back to something you said a little bit earlier about sort of working in what might seem like downtime, frivolous time, wasting time, and I'm putting quotes around wasting. I think that's a really important point. I think especially students can feel like they don't have the luxury of that, or they don't see the importance of a little break time in
there. Right. Yeah, I think it's very important. And by the way, here's an example where I do not necessarily practice what I preach, because this job is kind of all-consuming, you know, day and night. I was responding to someone's email 4 o'clock this morning.
No!
Yeah, so, but it that's a bad practice, which I do not endorse, and other people should not do that. Having those opportunities to relax your mind and to become in better spirits and to be happier and to bring joy to your life is very important, and it's worthy of an investment. Sometimes people get stressed at the end of a semester or before a big exam, and they have to keep working. And sometimes the best thing they can do is just take a little break, take a little time and relax and unwind and you know, watch some mindless TV or however you want to practice that. You know, so here at Southwestern University, every Thursday at 11:30, we have what's called Chapel Hour, which people can come to it if they want. It's just kind of open to everybody, and it's just a chance to kind of be together in a quiet space and share and reflect, and someone usually is thought-provoking and sharing some words. And I find those so refreshing. I come out of a 30-minute, you know, kind of engagement, and I just feel great. And you need to kind of budget that in. And also, I think also you have to think about where you are investing your time. Let me tell you one last thing. When students are preparing for a final, this used to happen to me all the time when I was teaching mathematics. Let's take a student who's maybe just on the margin of passing, maybe won't pass. Student will come into my office and we'll have pie charts and all this data. If I got 100 on the final, here's what I think I can get for the class average. If I got a 95, and I'm looking at all this, you know, computation, and I thought to myself, if that person would have invested that energy in studying, they would have done far better than this prep to see what they might get. And again, it's an example of spending a lot of effort to find the answer to the wrong question. So how you spend your time, I think, is everything. And making sure that there's time in your life to appreciate your life is really valuable.
And time to listen to podcasts.
Such as
Higher Ed.
Thank you.
I think it's important to point out, just as we wrap up here, that time management also can change over time. You know, how you organize time during high school, then during college, if you go to college, maybe even go on to education, formal education beyond college, then in your 30s. I mean, your time management plan is going to shift and change a lot over time.
And of course, as you know, the fundamental goal of education is to change lives. And if we are not ever evolving and ever changing, then we are not moving forward as living beings. So you're absolutely right that part of that change will mean that we have to change our habits. I mean, I'm working harder now than I did before. Well, that's kind of how I devolved, I guess. But it's true. But I mean, it's an important point that these things will change. And also, as we get older, we become more mature. That means we're more comfortable with ourselves. We're more confident. We know our strengths. And we can live our lives, in some sense, more productively.
Well, thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Always a thought-provoking conversation. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find Higher Ed on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.